Another visitor. Stay a while. Stay forever.
This is the Boop Show for Monday, August 13th, 1984. Just kidding, 2018. What is that on your face? What is that? What is it?
It won't be long now. We have our all-seeing eye. He watches my Halloween candy.
Oh, my Lord. Oh, yeah, we got Halloween coming soon. Well, I mean, what, how long? 2 months? 2 months. 2.5 months?
Yeah, 2 months. Sooner if you head to your retail store. They're already stocking the shelves with your Halloween candy and decorations.
That is true. Everybody likes to get ahead of it in the retail world, and before you know it, you start to buy the Christmas business right around the same time.
The Christmas business. Put some of that Christmas business in my basket, would you? Thanks.
Thanks a lot. Hi, everybody. Welcome. It's Brian Dunaway over there. It's Scott Johnson over here, and we're here to do another Boop Show. That's B-O-O-P, if you're studying how to spell it. And we're going to get right to it. A lot to talk about today. It's kind of a big day if you're a World of Warcraft fan. Blizzard's, the 8th expansion, or I guess 7th expansion. Eight total release is coming out here in about 15, 20 minutes. And it's the first worldwide release of the game where they do it at the exact same time across the globe. So that's why it's weird and on a Monday and at 3 p.m. In the Pacific time zone, whereas usually it's midnight everywhere and then they just kind of slowly roll out the launch. But not this time. They're doing it everywhere at once. And say a prayer for the servers, because hopefully that all holds up. I think they've gotten themselves in a pretty good technical place now where they can handle all that. It's a very different place than they were, 15 years ago or whatever it was. But has it been that long? Hold on.
That's about right.
So in 2014, it was 10 years. So it's 14 years ago. That's crazy. It's exciting. And I'm going to be playing after we're done here today. And very much looking forward to it. I haven't been this hyped on WoW in a while. So
you sound excited. You sound like you took a Benadryl and then got excited.
Here's what I did right before the show. We were actually going to start recording early, and you were like totally cool with that. You were home today. You thought, hey, why don't we do it early? I said, sure, that sounds great. And then I sat down to tie a shoe. And while I sat there on that couch tying that shoe, I then lifted my head up and straightened my body and went, oh, this chair feels good. This feels good here. I'm going to sit here for a minute, and before I knew it, I had fallen asleep. And
it's the old man honeypot.
my wife came up like, I don't know, 15 minutes ago and poked me and go, aren't you supposed to be doing a show? And I was like,
Are you still alive, old man?
Yeah.
Can I collect my money yet?
Can I get my insurance money? The answer is yes, honey. Now's the time. So I'm back. I'm here. I'm living, and it's great. And anyway, that's all good. Hey, let's get to the games that we have been playing. That's what we do on the show. We don't talk about the latest and the greatest in news or anything. There's a million shows like that. I tell you guys this every week. Our job is to talk about the world of video games we're enjoying the most and where we're spending our time and maybe have some recommendations of where you might want to spend yours. For example, have you heard of Dead Cells, Brian?
Heck yeah, and I've been tempted to get it, and I see it's on your list now, and it makes me mad. I should have picked it up.
Makes me sick. All right, so Dead Cells is this great game that's been on early access for a while. So I want to say, how long has this been on early access? Probably...
early access lasts a couple of years now. That's just the nature of the beast and where we're at.
A couple of years. It's totally fine with me. I don't mind.
2017.
Okay, so it's been about a year.
Initial release.
I picked it up pretty early from then because it stroked all the right hair follicles for me. It says, roguelike. Hey, check it out, I'm a roguelike, and not only that, I'm a side-scrolling one, and I got all kinds of similarities to games you love, like Castlevania and Metroid and games like that, but also randomly generated levels, awesome retro look and feel, really, really tight controls, and kind of an amazing combat system, and all this sort of business, right? Sure enough, That is exactly what you get with this thing. They, what they say is what you get. It is that experience and a whole lot more. And not to get too far ahead of myself here, I'll explain more about how the game works for those uninitiated, but pretty sure it is my 2018 game of the year so far.
What? Okay, wait. You got to qualify that. Do you mean like across the board or in the roguelite area?
Across the board. I'm going to go better across than God the board of War. And say it's better than God of War. I'm going to say I'm going to say it's better than every other game I've played. The only game that I think may give it a run for its money for me from a pure gameplay standpoint will probably be Red Dead Redemption 2. Which comes out in October. Speaking of October, speaking of Halloween. So, because you were talking about that earlier. We're really still speaking about it, but you know what I mean. And I like it that much. Now, I'm not saying it's everybody's bucket of vomit. I think some people may not like it. I don't know. You know, like side-scrolling, pixelated, roguelike isn't necessarily inspiring a lot of people to go, ooh, that's new in 2018. Wow, we haven't had those in a while. Like, yeah, we're inundated with such things, and I happen to be a giant fan of the genre, but this is a step above all of it. This takes it to a new level. This defines it from here forward, as far as I'm concerned. I've not played anything as enjoyable or as repeatable at all yet. And it may just, part of this may just speak to where I'm at with gaming right now. Like, I think God of War is amazing. Right. I think God of War is one of the most incredible games of the year, period. And was probably leading the pack until I picked this little booger up, or until I've been playing it a bunch. And the reason that I say that is I think I'm in a place right now where I just really like tightly, well-made sort of gameplay loops that reward all those little things in your head that you want to get from a video game and get loot and randomization and... I survived a horrible fight, but look at the great loot I got for it. Or I knew I was in for a big risky fight, but it was worth it because not only did I kill the dude and get the stuff I wanted, but I, you know, it's the best run I've had and I've unlocked all these new things. So even though I have to start over, I've still got all this stuff unlocked and it's just so freaking satisfying. I cannot say enough about how good it feels to play it. Play it with a controller if you're on PC. If you don't, you're an insane person. Don't even bother not doing that. Controller required, not required. I mean, you don't have to, but I highly recommend it. If you're playing on Switch, PS4, or Xbox, you're already playing it on a controller as it should be and as you might expect. It's on all the platforms now. It was on PC for a long time as an early access game. It's now everywhere. The Switch version is highly tempting. I feel like double dipping in this case, even though there's no shared save, so I'd lose my progress and everything, which would be a big fat bummer. But I really like it, Brian, like to the point of
I'm gonna call early purchase elation on this game. I think you're just excited about this title now. I predict in 2 weeks from now you'll recant back to something else. I don't think this will hold on to the end of the year. I don't think a 12.5-hour game, according to how long to beat, is going to hold you up.
Why do you believe that? Just curious. What is it about this that you think I'll turn?
I just from what I've seen of it, it looks like fun, but I don't think the depth. The thing that works for me for God of War that keeps me going, keeps me looking back and going, oh yeah, well, don't forget those great characters. I mean the game was tight. The gameplay was tight. Mm-hmm. But don't forget the characters and the story. I just don't see Dead Cells.
Well, if you're if your comparison is, or if your criteria is which one's got the deeper story, which one has the more fleshed out depth characters, all that stuff. Well, this isn't even gonna come close to God of War because this isn't the point of this game isn't that. So I don't disagree with you there, but where I would disagree with you would be if I'm basing this on what do I want to do with my time, where do I want my game time to be spent? Like, this is it. Like, this is...
So you think like, okay, so let's say Red Dead Redemption comes to Ghost, and you get an opportunity to go back to play God of War or Dead Cells. You think that would be more tempting. I think you're
no,
just
no, no.
Honeymoon.
I think no, no, no. Like I said,
phase.
Like
I think you're in honeymoon phase.
I know, but like I said earlier, the Red Dead Redemption will probably end up being the game, unless Rockstar would really have to screw this up for that game to not match my expectations. So yes, I fully expect this to be unseated, but if nothing better comes along before now in December, it's in the top three.
I'm glad that you found love. I really am with Dead Cells. I'm really glad. I really am, though. Seriously.
Yeah.
But you know, I've seen these flash the pan girls come by, you know, before. I think you're. I'm just gonna say. I'm just thinking.
It's also the highest rated game of the year so far. If you go look at the
it's not higher rated than God of War. Rated by who? By you?
By reviewers and by fans. If you go look, it's all public record there.
Let me see who's got a higher Metascore. Is that who you're doing Metascore?
I'm doing Metacritic for the aggregate, and I can't remember what else I looked at. I looked at some other something, but that was it.
All right, let me.
Highly regarded thus far.
God of War is PS4's highest rated exclusive on Metacritic. Oh, that doesn't really say.
Yeah, exclusive doesn't count. You can't count that.
Right. Metacritic. Oh, okay. That's not the right thing. Okay, that's the old God of War.
You really want to take this from me, don't you? You don't want me to like this retro looking.
I feel a little cheated upon. I mean, coming in here. I mean, I expected when Red Dead Redemption came around, it's like. You know, you got that, oh, but I love this. But Red Dead Redemption.
Yeah, it's all I'm going to talk
Dead
about.
Dead Cells coming up here with an upset, I can't accept that.
Well, I understand. Look, I've been playing it for a year, and I can tell you that in its final release, it is more polished and more done than it was a year ago. Right. So they followed through on everything they promised to do. It is refined and tweaked and made by people who clearly love video games and know how to make them.
Right.
It's
unlike
special.
God of War.
It is a special. Suck. No, there's nothing wrong. This is not me saying that God of War is a bad game. I think God of War will stand the test of time and will always be looked back on extremely fondly, right. Especially for that series. And to add to that, I would say that this shouldn't take away anyone's enjoyment of that game or any other this year that they found
to be
the most fun. However, y'all are nutbags if you don't play Dead Cells and enjoy it.
It's good. It's on my list, but honestly, I had looked at it a couple of times, and I saw how long to beat was like around 12 and a half hours for the main story, and I was just getting this feeling that some of the gameplay is going to be repetitive, and I'm going to play through, and I might play 6 hours if I'm lucky, and I'll be kind of done with it, like I've done everything. Whereas God of War, I still go back and visit. I don't talk about it. But I still pop into that world, because that world is more than just gameplay. That world is story, gameplay, you know, the whole gamut of what I want.
Yeah.
And it keeps bringing me back.
Well, all I know is there are a trillion things I haven't unlocked in this game yet. And I've unlocked a ton.
I'm going to give it a try.
Yeah, you have to give it a try. It's amazing. So even if you're right, at the end of the day, God of War wins out and becomes everybody's favorite everything of all time, and nothing comes close in 2018. Even if that's true, this is easily in the top handful. It has to be.
For donuts and, you know, in entertainment, this game sets at around $25. Just about any day of the week, you can generally catch it about a half of that. If you're watching currently, you can pick it up off Fanatical, which is a decent key site. You know, you can get about 10% off there. So yeah, I'm probably gonna pick this up. I'm gonna put it on my wait for a better price on my Is There Any Deal? And I'm gonna pick this up.
You're insane, because it's worth $24. I promise you that.
I don't doubt this worth $24, but I've made a stand here, and I can't back down now. what will the kids think of me?
What would they think of you? That's true. All right, well, that's Dead Cells. It's awesome and available everywhere and worth getting. And it's the first game of its type where I would lose my progression, but I'm tempted nonetheless to pick it up on Switch, so I've got a portable version of this game, even if it meant I have it in two places, because, man, too cool for school. All right, Brian, tell me about Here They Lie. Now, is this lie like, hey, I'm telling you a fat lie, or is it they're lying here? Like, what's the deal?
That's the see, that is the mystery that is wrapped into this game that I got. Anyone who has PlayStation Plus, you could have picked this up. I have a PlayStation 4. I add this to my library. It's officially titled as a PSVR game, but it plays just fine as a 2D game, which is
that's like Hamburger Helper. It may be called Hamburger Helper, but it does just fine by itself.
It does just fine by itself. Now, I only have MS Ver, and I don't have the PS Ver, but I did it anyway. I took a chance, and I'll be honest with you. When I first started playing this game, it's very story driven. There's a lot of mystery, and it's an exploration game where you're trying to get in there and you're trying to explore to further the story. And right away, when you start the game, you start on you're getting off a subway kind of train, an L train, if you will. It looks like it's in the past, probably looks like about like 1940s era America. And there's a nice young lady there, and she's talking to you, and she's giving you kind of some cryptic messages about what exactly is going on and what your relationship is with this lady. And then she leaves you, and you're in this world that is completely abandoned.
What's with these load times are horrendous I'm seeing here on screen. Why are they so long?
Oh, load times? Oh, yeah. Well, you know, the cut screens and stuff.
Yeah
the cut scenes can be, you know what? It didn't really bother me because there's enough. Okay, so this game is all about making you think. Now, there may be some spoilers in what I'm about to say, so if you're wanting to play Here They Lie on the PlayStation 4, which is free this month, if you have PlayStation Plus, you can play it without the VR. Do it. It's a intense ride. I played it from start to end, and so I know how the story came about, and it is a very story-driven game. So if you
scary?
Don't want any spoilers,
is it scary?
What's
a little scary, this game?
Yes, I'm going to talk about that. Yes, yes. So cut off now. Get out of here. Get out.
Yeah, get out if you don't want to be spoiled or scared.
You don't want to be spoiled or scared? Yes, it is super creepy. And more than that, it is like taking a freaking trip. I've never been on an acid trip, but I can only imagine it's kind of like that. So, okay, so the whole feeling of this.
I already know. I'm looking at video. I already know I can't do this. No way.
Oh, it's good.
No.
See, when I first started playing it, I was like,
I was
so bored because it's exploration. And when I first started, it starts very slow. And there's not very many clues to what's going on. And there's a lot of walking around because about the only thing you really can do is walk up to objects that are usually shining, and you'll open a box, and inside will be some kind of cryptic, poetic kind of, you know, message.
How you moving? Controller? Controllers? How
yeah,
you moving?
Yeah, all controller.
Okay.
Yes, just my little six-axis PS4 controller. Yeah, very simple controls. Left stick moves you around. Right stick, you can spin around and look, and the X button activates the item that you're looking at, and then the bumper on the front lets you run a little bit.
Hell no. So, I just saw a thing come out of the subway. Uh-uh.
It is so good, though. It is. I was thinking about you, though, Scott. I was like, oh, Scott can't play this because it is like super intense eventually. Now, the first 30 minutes of this game, I was bored out of my mind, and I said I've made a horrible decision. Sometimes this happens because, you know, we have to invest so much time each week into a game, and I'll get 30 minutes in. I'm like, oh, no, this is going to be bad because I've already dedicated 30 minutes to this. I'm going to have to start all over.
Yeah.
And I was so close. I was like, okay, I'm going to go get a snack. I put down the controller, I walked away, got my snack, came back and said, okay, I'm going to play a couple more minutes just to see. And about that time, it started getting good. So the first 30 minutes, be prepared to be bored. But after that, it really ratchets it up. And at first, I didn't understand why I was getting all these audio cues. So when you approach a box and you open the box, it's either got a message that's written out that you can read, and it's usually something kind of cryptic, but it makes you think. It gives you it's very poetic. It gives you these visual imageries of life and death and all these other things that we are always thinking about. And then there's these voice recordings. When you see certain pictures, there'll be voice recordings, and it'll be people talking about how they feel about, life, death, what they think of the universe, and all these bigger questions.
Is this a Sony production? They make this?
Yeah, this is Santa Monica. This okay. is this right. is yeah, this is Santa Monica.
I so, like that they're doing that. They're supporting this stuff. That's a good thing.
Oh, I do too. Yeah, I do too. I love that. And so that's what the developers wanted to be very, very much very artistic in the fact that they wanted you to explore all these deeper thoughts and put together your thoughts on what this game actually means and what it means to you, because we all have those common fears of death and, you know, and where we're going and, you know, is our existence qualified? Is it not? Blah, blah, blah. Anyway, yeah. It does get you to thinking. And in the meantime, you run into all these Stanley Kubrick kind of characters. You ever see Eyes Wide Shut?
Mm-hmm.
You remember how uncomfortable that made you feel?
Yeah, it was mostly because there's weird old guys hanging around naked ladies. That's why it made me uncomfortable.
Right. And so there's kind of that element here. Think of any of those kind of Stanley Kubrick films or other films that, especially from the 70s, we did this a lot where we see the worst of man.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And so the worst of man is involved in your explorations, and all the humans that you meet are they all wear different animal heads. So they'll have some of them have horses and zebras and. Oh, they're that's really different, Brian. But anyway, yeah, there's other animal heads too. Is pig?
No,
heads
No, everything you're saying is not on the table.
It's very creepy. It is very creepy, but it is just it's got all these wonderful elements, and even the environment as you go along. The environment is very solid when you first start. You know, when you walk down a subway tunnel from one place to the next, it's very like you expect. It's solid. It's flat, you know, it feels like good architecture. But as you go along, the architecture starts warping. And you'll notice that you're kind of walking a little bit crooked. You won't notice at first. And all of a sudden, you're like, am I walking crooked? I'm walking crooked. Mm. And then the tunnels will start going weaving around and stuff. And occasionally, you'll have a hallucination while you're in these characters. And it'll just kind of, you get all these kaleidoscope images and things. And they keep you just attached long enough
would
to
you
go
call this
okay,
one
okay
is
with
this
all
like
this
a exploratory game, like you're not really doing much else.
Absolutely.
Right.
Absolutely.
Okay.
No, you're not. Well, you're not. You're making some the crux of the game. The finale of the game is all about what you've experienced, and you're asked to make a choice.
Okay,
so you've gone down the rabbit hole and you're asked to make a choice, this or that. So at the end, it does follow along with your choices, because you do get to make those choices along the way. By the way, along the way as you're going, the girl that you met at the beginning
yeah.
will appear is in imagery, and she'll talk to you, and she'll tell you about this relationship that you had.
Yeah.
And I don't want to give too much away, but you've had this relationship with this girl, and because of this relationship, you have to decide at the end if that relationship is something you want to continue or if you want to change the outcome of what has happened to the world, which has become very dystopian.
Yeah, I like that. By the way, there's this, we're looking at video here for those who are listening on audio, and it's very, very monochromatic, but really effective.
Yes.
It's very pretty.
It's almost entirely monochromatic, except for certain places where you will go into full color, and the girl who is apparently Dana, your love, is usually dressed in a very bright yellow outfit. So, like I said, I was literally just ready to turn this away and just go, nah, this is just some kind of cheap, stupid VR trick. But by the time I got through, I was like, wow, that was really deep. It was a very artistic piece.
So did you play the whole schmear then? You got the whole deal done?
I played the whole thing. I didn't think I would play. I thought I was going to be out, but I just kept having to keep going a little further.
Ugh.
A little further down the rabbit
they're
hole.
Walking in a thing. Like, I don't like it. I don't like where they're at right now in this video. I can't look at it. Okay, keep talking.
It's maybe a 2-3 hour game, according to what speed you play.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's a pretty short game. Most VR games are.
All right.
And I would really like to. I don't know if I'd want to experience this VR. I after I gotten through, I did read some reviews, and people talked about it was one of the most nauseating experience they had, and I would probably assume so, especially when the environment starts morphing just a little bit,
yeah,
and everything gets a little bit odd. I think, yeah, it would probably make
plus controller movement is tricky. Like, it doesn't always give you the results you want. Sometimes your brain's like, okay, I'm gonna Ralph here, you know, like it's a weird thing. But this seems, right. I mean, I love the look of this. Like, the look of this is insane.
It's creepy. But once you get to a certain point, by the way, we are talking about Here They Lie. It's a PlayStation Plus game right now, free for this month. VR or not, either way, you can play it. I think if you could get past the oddness, once you get far enough in, I think it'd be okay.
Okay.
I don't know though. It's when it first starts getting creepy. It was pretty bad.
Yeah,
it was pretty bad. But if you get past that, it's not so bad.
I don't think I can do it.
it's really a difference between what you're hearing and seeing at a distance, and then once you travel far enough, you start interacting with some of those characters, and when you do, you realize that it's just not all bad.
Right.
There's elements of good and bad in each place. So then the scary, creepy things, once you actually get close enough to them and see what they are, you're like, oh, okay, that's not as bad.
Not so bad. All right.
Not as bad. But yeah, Here They Lie. It was, like I said, I wouldn't say it's game of the year since it didn't come out this year.
Yeah.
But I will say it was a fun ride.
It was Brian's game of 3 hours. So there you go.
Game of the weekend.
Okay, well, we're moving from that then. We go from Dead Cells to that to this, which is so different in tone from both of the first two games that this could be one of the strangest transitions in the history of the show. But the game is Uncooked 2. Overcooked,
oh, no.
I don't mean uncooked. Overcooked 2, sorry. Overcooked 2. Now, I picked up the PC version because I knew there was online multiplayer there and I could do some streaming and some fun stuff with some friends. So that's why I picked up that version. I was tempted to get the Switch version because that seems like the perfect console to do the couch kind of thing with people.
Right.
But the first game, I keep saying Uncooked. Overcooked. Uncooked is what I do in the kitchen. Overcooked is the game. It's a real cute little deal where you play these little chefs. They're almost like little meeples looking chef guys. And it's a cooking challenge game. There's a lot of co-op and there's a lot of versus. In the single player and co-op edition, you have a recipe that comes up on the screen, a number of them. You've got to do them in order, and you have to work with each other if you're doing this co-op. It's like, dude, you get the sushi ready, or you get the seaweed ready, I'll get the rice, and then I'll cook the fish. And you got to communicate about this. There's pots around, there's knives, there's places to cook the stuff.
There's rats in our chef's hats.
There's rats in the chef's hats. All of these things are true. And when you're done, you put the plate on a little conveyor belt and you've got one of the orders complete. You do as much as you can in the time that you're given. I think it's 3 minutes total. And it went in the
way this looks.
In the versus mode, it's one of the most brutal, fun, and ridiculous multiplayer experiences you'll ever have in your life. You may kill somebody, though. You may kill a friend. Because you're seriously, it is so intense and so chaotic. And the first game was just one of the best games I ever played. That in terms of like couch co-op-y, get stuff done, kind of work with another guy thing. But man, you're going to get mad at your partner or
the
people that beat you.
I like it.
Yeah, so it's cool. So you got to chop stuff up. You got to do other things. Now in the single player mode, there's like a campaign and it's fun. I think it's actually pretty good on its own. It's just not indicative of what the final game is going to be all about for you. The final game is all about competition, or that's what the long-haul fun of this game is. And the single player is cool because you kind of learn the mechanics, and you have to run around and figure out how to multi-manage or multi-task a couple of dudes. You switch between them with a shoulder button. And just a riot. I mean, there's not much else to say about it except I think it's graphically ridiculous. The stages you're on are weirder and weirder every time. There are like obstacles to getting work done for no good reason. Like there's there's a freaking, and the one we're looking at right now, there's two conveyor belts and they're just terrible. Like, why are they even there? There's this guy's stove is on fire and now it's catching the rest of everything else on fire. Like, it's just ridiculous. I'm not sure they even delivered a finished plate yet. There you go, buddy. You got one in. And they've got a minute left on this thing, and I think they've delivered one sushi thing, and it's different food every time.
It's like a real place I go eat at.
Yeah, totally. And you bump into each other, so you can't just pass through each other Warcraft style. You're like, you know, there's collision and all that. It's just frantic and ridiculous and one of the most fun experiences you've had. If you didn't play the first one, this will be new to some people. If you play the first one, you know you're going to get more of this. There's also a new toss mechanic where you can toss stuff to each other. So if somebody's across the room and they're like, I need that thing, you can throw it to them, which is a new mechanic. There's some other stuff like that. I can't think of it all, but it's great.
It's got pretty good, it's got pretty good Metascore. And according to IsThereAnyDeal.com, the Razer Game Store, that Razer. You remember the mice and everything?
Yeah, the Razer people.
Gaming. Yeah, the Razer people. Mm-hmm. They have a game store. And I occasionally buy something there because it'll be on sale. $18 right now. So actually one of the better deals.
Oh, that'd be worth it. I paid $24 for it. I paid full price on Steam. Had I known that, I probably would have done that. But it's just one of those. It's one of the great multiplayer games. I'd put it up there as all-time greats like Super Bomberman and...
Oh, wow.
Oh, gosh. That's what's great. Another one? Like the original Worms Armageddon.
If they had like a reboot of Burger Time with this engine, I'd be all on board.
Oh, yeah, no. Like, you know what it is? It's kind of Burger Time. It's like a take on that, sort of.
Right.
It's like you got to make the stuff in the right order, get it delivered. Like, it's similar. Obviously, that one's a platformer, and it was all about, you know, it was a different kind of strategy.
Independent
but
play.
This is a really, really cool game, and I highly recommend it. My favorite thing about it probably is the overworld is like this cool, looks like a little board game with a bunch of little grids, and you drive a little Jeep around.
Looks exactly like a board game. Exactly what I was thinking. The meeples look like that, and the layout of the rooms look very board game-ish.
Yeah,
I like
and, that. And like, for example, I'm showing the chat room one right now where, for some reason, the kitchen is in a hot air balloon, and you're in the base of a big square hot air balloon where you're making salads and sending them to whoever's ordering these from a freaking hot air balloon. It's just weird.
But I love that kind of stuff. That's what makes those kind of games fun, because what fun is it to be in some kitchen somewhere? I mean, let's make it seem exciting. Let's check it out.
Well, this is one. Yeah. So Overcooked 2, haven't played it enough to really report back on the multiplayer, but I played a lot of the first one and I already know it's great. So
now are you gonna play? Is it really a local couch co-op?
Oh yeah, you can do thing? You can still do that, but also see the old version. One of the big complaints about the previous version, it did not have any online play at all. It was only couch co-op and competition. That was it. This one has all the same couch stuff, but online features as well. So you can play with your friends.
Who's
online.
Your favorite couch buddy right now at home? Do you have? Is one of your kids really
probably
killing it?
Probably Carter. She's more of a play that kind of game and scream and punch me kind of person. Nick's more of a, you want to play Fort? He wants to play Fortnite all the time.
Yo, Fort or Fortnite?
Aren't you sick of them all? I mean, I don't know what your kids are doing, but they're all calling it Fort around here, and it makes me want to punch a donkey. Hate it.
I got a keyboard I can smack somebody with. Come on, you're not going to Fort around my house.
I don't like
no,
the term
sir.
Fort.
You call it Fortnite.
Yeah.
Or at least say fork knife to be cute. Well, but do not call it Fort, because there's a game called Forts, and you'll confuse me. Don't do it.
Here's the other problem, is they want to play, what's the other game they're playing? They're playing a lot of Rainbow Six Siege, and so they're calling it Siege.
Siege.
Or no, they're calling it...
That's a game called Siege 2, don't do it!
Sorry, Siege I can handle. They're calling it Rainbow, and that makes me want to kick another donkey.
That's actually fun. I'm actually okay with that. I don't know why.
It's bad. It's bad.
It satisfies me.
Oh my gosh, this balloon these guys are cooking and
because
just crashed.
I can't think of another game called Rainbow that I'm playing.
Well, Rainbow Six, that's a good point. How many other Rainbow games?
It's only appropriate if there is no other game that is the shortened version of the game that you're shortening. Don't cause brand confusion in my face. I won't handle it.
No, you won't take it. You're not into it.
No.
I understand.
Mm-mm.
All right, let's talk about I Became a Dog. This is a mobile game? What is this?
It is a mobile game. I picked this up for my Android device. I'm not sure if it plays anywhere else, but it is worth a look for sure. My son, my youngest son, Ethan, approached me and said, Father, I was like, yeah, what? I'm playing Fort. Leave me alone. he said, let me see your phone. I was like, oh, geez. Here, take it.
Yeah.
And so he loads it. He said, you got to play this game. I was like, all right. So what is it? I Became a Dog. And he says, what is it? And I asked him what he was. And he says, oh, you become a dog and you try to become human again.
Yeah.
That's pretty much what it is.
Okay.
So it's so I did in this game. It's mostly a point click adventure, kind of game. You start out, you don't know what happened to you prior to your Shaggy DA-ing.
Yeah.
But a Shaggy DA is when you turn into a dog as a human and become a DA. In this case, I didn't become a DA. I was just stuck in a house with four or five other dogs. And there is a mystery.
Is it like a click stuff and see what they
Absolutely.
Do?
So you click stuff. You interact with a couple other dogs that are in the area. The first dog you approach is this. What are those?
Corgi. Corgi.
Corgi. There you go. That's a good one. I think there's a corgi there too. But these dogs are hilarious looking. They're these, you know, these low pixel bit, not super low, but maybe 8, 16. What do you think?
Probably 16 bit. Yeah.
Probably 16 bit worth of doggy characters, but they're cutely illustrated. Actually, that's not true. They're so ugly, they're cute, which is the kind of dogs I like anyway.
I do too.
But you do start the game and you're like, I don't know what's going on right now. And so you walk over to the first dog and he gives you some advice. And that advice is, hey, you're going to talk to other dogs, but you're not going to understand them unless you eat dog food.
This dog looks like it just killed the dog that it used to be in. Like, you used to be in a dog and then now you're in this other dog and the other dog's dead now. Does that sound right?
That is okay. So you've kind of jumped ahead a little bit in the game, but that's okay because this game is a weird game. At first it looks super cute and you're like, okay, what have I got here? Okay, I'm gonna go over here and I'm gonna talk to this dog. I can understand him, but he's gonna say that I can't understand other dogs until I eat dog food because I was a human, he's a human. And he's saying if he jumps 1 million times he thinks that he could become human again. And you think, okay, you're crazy. So you walk away, and you go to talk to another dog, and sure enough, it just goes woof, 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 and then there's a word you can read, then woof, woof, woof. And so at that point in time, you see, eat! And it pops up in a big big word balloon, exclamation mark, eat! And all the dogs run to this dog ball, and you're like, whoa, wait for me! And you run, and you grab the dog food, and you eat some, and you go back to the first dog you talked to, and it'll say woof, woof, and there'll be other words that are decrypted. So as you go along, that's what you kind of have to do. You have to go, and every time they call food, you eat the food, and you can understand the dogs. And then the dogs are going to start asking you for favors. But that's okay because you're going to ramp up your education because you're going to go back to the first dog. The first dog is going to say, hey, man, I'm going to teach you how to bark. And when you bark, it brings more food. No one delivers it. It just appears out of nowhere. And so at that point
in time,
wait a minute. Yeah, go ahead.
Sorry, this dog I'm watching just learned farting, it says.
Yes, you learn farting because there is another contingency that says that you must collect bugs. There's these roaches running back and forth across the floor. There's just a few at a time. And when you first start, one of your quests is to get 10 roaches, and then a secret will be revealed. And once you do that, he tells you that when you fart, you can collect more roaches. You can actually increase your fart skills as you go along.
How do you I'm watching this dog get these roaches and I just saw him eat a bowl of food. How do you make sure that you're getting some of the food and the other dogs aren't eating it all?
Well, that's the thing. You have to get there as quickly as possible because they beeline it, man. And one of the things you can do is increase your speed. So that's something you can do further along. But lots of times you just have to be in the right place and you'll be kind of exploring some stuff and it's like food. And there's the bowl of food will appear in a certain area, but you're never quite sure where. And hopefully you can get to it the quickest. And usually there's a spots, but man, lots of times, sometimes there's not. Sometimes you don't get anything and you cuss and yell and it's like, But the quest is to complete each quest because each little task that you're giving hopefully gets you closer to be able to figure out how to become human again.
Are these like little, like the quests you, when you're done doing the quest, is it like a quest where, oh, I got the bugs and I farted. Yep. Oh, congratulations. Yep. And now you move on to your next quest.
Pretty much, but it's a little more organic than that. They say, oh, okay, well, thank you. I like to eat bugs. Bring me 50 bugs. You bring in 50 bugs. And then he goes, oh, thank you. I've got a tip for you. There's a key over there. And so you'll go find the key, and then you can open a room. When you go into the room, there's usually a second task that you have to do. There's computer codes you have to find. There's a prison you end up going to, and there's some other surprises. But the fun thing about this is when you play through, there's 5 different endings. I've completed 2. I've still got 3 more to go. It takes a turn. There is a serious dark turn because at first it's funny, and it's like, ha-ha, I'm making the dog fart. And, you know, I'm fighting for food when the dogs eat their teeth kind of. Yeah. And so it's funny until the turn. And once the turn happens, you're like, holy, this has got a dark, this has got a dark side to it. It's very dark.
Really?
But one of the things that you do is there's very few ads. Almost practically no ads, and you can choose to not do the ads at all, which I usually do. Your fart ability, you can click it so many times within so many minutes. And if you exceed that limit, then you can watch an ad and it'll refresh again. And reset.
So hold on but what's the value of the farting? Is it you constantly need to be gathering those bugs?
You're attracting the bugs. Yeah, you're attracting the bugs so you can eat the bugs so you can trade, because the two things you can trade in is objects you collect and the bugs.
And bugs. And so, bugs are only found by farting, and the objects you collect you find by exploring or whatever.
Right.
Okay. Exactly. This is a very odd thing. It is a free-to-play game, I noticed. It's on iOS and Android. And it's pretty highly rated on the Apple App Store. People seem to like this.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. And they even ask you. At first, I was like, ooh, I felt a little bit sleazy, because I walked up to the dog, and he's like, well, I'll give you a clue if you tell a friend about the game. And I'm like, ugh. I'm going to say, yeah, I'm going to go to Facebook and sign in and all this crap. I'm just quitting right now. And he says, did you tell one of your friends? I'll take your word for it. And I'm like, what? You're taking my word for it? Of course I tell my friend. Told Scott, told the Boop Show. There. We're even. We're square.
Wow. I'm talking to the old man dog now. He's jumping up and down. He's always jumping up and down, that old man dog, whatever he is.
Well, he's trying to get a million jumps in. He's convinced that he can do it. So, by the way, I didn't mention the game. I didn't mention the name 100 times. I became a dog.
I became a dog. We always try to let you guys know the name a couple of times in a row so that we don't leave you wondering what the hell we're talking about next.
Right. But it's a little bit silly, but it's kind of fun, and it's dark, and I'm interested in seeing the other endings, because there's a little bit of intrigue there for Ooh. Such a simple game.
All right. Well, my next game is going to bum us out a little bit.
Oh, no.
Well, it might bum people out. How do I even start this one? All right. So there's a game called This Is the Police that came out a while ago. Okay.
I think I played this before.
I didn't play it, but I always thought, hey, that looks cool. That looks like a really cool kind of vibe to it. It looks like a kind of a neat style to it, kind of minimalistic, and you know, the art and the animation's pretty neat and everything. And the first game had this as well. 2 carries that on for sure. I don't think it's for me. I think this game is for somebody. I don't think it's for me, though. You got basically...
And this is part 2, right?
This is part 2. Second one. Correct. Okay. There's this town, and bad things happen in it. So, you know, there's a case during the day, and you're like, oh, I better put 2 police on this case. And they go do a case. Now, what's misleading is in the intro of the game, it has this awesome turn-based strategy portion that plays a lot like the XCOM games.
That's what I was thinking. It was like XCOM. It's nothing like XCOM.
It is in those segments, but they're so few and far between. This is where I kind of have a problem with it. So the idea is that, so when I first saw it, it was like this, you know, the sheriff goes up to the wall, and then you send the girl on the other side, and she's got the ability to break a window, but he doesn't. But he has the ability to kick the door down, and she doesn't. So there's, you know, again, like XCOM, they've got different abilities to do different things. They can move so far. They can make arrests if they come around the side where the perpetrator's not looking. They can throw stun grenades, this sort of stuff. And it looked like a turn-based tactical strategy game, and I got so excited when I was playing this intro. I'm like, dude, this is so up my alley. I'm stoked. Let's go. And as soon as that scenario was over, it turned into this like weird point and click adventure story mode thing. So like these animated people come out, and they all look like kind of rotoscoped flat vector image people. And they come out and they're like, hey, what's going on? Oh, I found a thing. And then we did a deal. And it's just a lot of talking and me clicking. And then it kind of turns into, what's the guy who goes, the yells out in court, and he goes, what does he say? It's the Japanese series, the Capcom games. And he yells, objection! What's the game I'm thinking of? What's wrong with me?
I don't know. That's interesting. I don't know what you're talking about. I hope the chat room does.
Chat room will know. Guys, help me out here. The Capcom makes its long-running series, started on the Phoenix Wright games. It's God, got,
I never played those.
It's got a bunch of that in there, which is like,
right,
go dig through 50 clues and figure out which clues are the right ones. And, oh, this is no good. So there's all these gameplay type things mashed in there that I don't like just on a very basic level. They're not fun to me. Like, I don't think that's fun.
I don't know, but I've got to play Phoenix Wright now looking at this. I got to play this.
Phoenix Wright's great. There's nothing wrong with Phoenix Wright. Phoenix Wright knows how to do that right. I think this is just slow and kind of meh and whatever. And then when you do finally get to one of the cases, you might get one of these sequences where you go and do the kind of turn-based thing. And those, I think, are handled really well. Those are really cool. I wish the whole game was that. It's not the game's fault. This just is, I don't think it's for me. So
I agree with you, because I've played some games that are kind of like this, and I can be not in the mood for it. But I've also found that some of this rotoscoping, low poly illustrator looking stuff kind of works for me.
Oh, I like the look of
it.
The look's fine.
It looks like something I want to play.
Yeah, no, there's nothing wrong with the look of it. And the layout, the UI, the character art, all that stuff is great. No complaints. That isn't my problem. My problem is what you're actually doing most of the time.
Right.
Is, like Chatroom says, this is the boring police. A little bit.
Interesting.
And for somebody out there, this is awesome for them. I'm excited this exists for you. It's like a whole bunch of reading and homework, and it's like being an accountant, probably. I don't know what this is like, but that's how the game feels to me, and it's just not my jam, man. I just can't do
interesting. In the last, maybe they've had some trouble more recently, because it used to be mostly positive reviews, and more recently it's gotten some more negative reviews. So I don't know if that means the game has changed or just more people are playing it and it doesn't appeal to a wider audience, whereas other people were maybe seeking this kind of game out.
Know.
Interesting.
I just feel like they're doing too much. It's just too many ideas jammed in there. And sometimes that works out. Sometimes it just doesn't pan out. And sometimes it's just me, and I'm willing to admit that. So not my kind of game, but again, somebody out there might like it. It's like, you know what? It's like Tower Defense. You love it. I hate it.
Yeah, this is the police too.
Yeah, so it's out there. PC, PlayStation 4, Xbox One, and maybe Switch. Doesn't say here.
Maybe Switch?
I don't know. I have it on PC. Uses a controller or mouse and keyboard, different ways to play it. And
your elbows, like Scott was playing it.
I really don't like homework games, chat. I am saying that. Chat, homework video games, this is not my thing, dude.
I'll tell you, man, I don't know what my problem is, but I've kind of steered into these games. I used to hate these kind of games, but in the last 6 months, I've kind of steered. I think it's because I'm playing more independent games, and I am willing to give things chances that I would not give a AAA title. I'll just go, okay, well, let's see what this artist is trying to say.
Yeah, what weird thing are you trying to get me to do? Sure.
Right. I will give it a little bit. I'll probably give it a little more leeway than I would give somebody else.
Yeah, I think I get that. I totally get that. That's me too. I am generally that way. And I gave this one a good shot. I gave it all my all. After about an hour, I was like, okay, freaking. I may as well go.
Don't you hate that though? We talk about this. I talked about it earlier. I mean, we are limited time gamers because we definitely have a limit each week for review, and it's so disappointing when I get into a game and I ride it out for an hour and it still never gets good.
Chatroom says this, I play D&D but hates homework games. It's not D&D is not a homework game.
No.
D&D is got
math.
There's a little, but it's mostly, and a lot of that stuff's being done for you now. So I can I've got dice apps that add it all up. I've got a character sheet online that does the changes for me. Like, you can avoid all that poop and get into the story, get into the action, get into the mechanics of those games, and that is not even a close comparison. However, I understand his point. It's just like, I may as well do my taxes or something that I have to get done. I may as well go balance my checkbook.
Right.
I may as well do that instead of helping these police do their job. That's how it feels anyway.
This game couldn't complete without me.
Brian, what's it called?
Witch It. It's two words, witch and then IT.
Information technology. Oh, no?
Right.
Okay. Tell me about it. What does this thing do? What's the deal?
Nailed it.
What's the plan?
You got it. You got it. So it's a multiplayer hide and seek game that I was kind of putting off because I was thinking I might wait until Halloween gets a little closer before I'm in the mood for that. But when I found out the Halloween candy was out, I was like, all bets are off, baby. I'm playing this. I picked this up in the Humble Bundle a couple of months ago. I always say their name wrong. Daedalic. How do you say it?
Daedalic. Probably Daedalic.
Daedalic. There you go. Daedalic. Yeah. Daedalic Entertainment had a bundle.
This is weird. Sorry, I'm looking at a video.
A few months ago. It's called Witchit. It really is a hide and seek game that really is probably underdeveloped. It's more of a proof of concept than an actual game, if you ask me, because there is no tutorial. It is all multiplayer. There is no training mode that you pop into and learn how to do anything. You literally just log into servers, which, by the way, are not as sparse as I had worried, because I was like, uh-oh, I'm going to get in this game, and no one's going to be playing it. There's actually quite a few people playing this game.
You know what this reminds me of? This is going to sound weird, but this reminds me of Assassin's Creed Brotherhood.
I could see that.
Where they're like hiding.
It does. The city is kind of, it's a little more cartoony, but it's kind of like that. And what you're doing is you're either playing as a hunter or a witch. If you're a witch, you hide. And how do you do that? Well, you approach objects and you basically turn into that object. So if you go to, it's like an old village, most of the places that I played, and there's other settings you can choose from. But I preferred the village. It was more fun.
Are the bad guys always these fat dudes in bunny suits?
Yes. You're either a witch or the fat guy in a bunny. So you can adjust your costuming some. It's not a whole lot of adjusting, but there's a little bit of adjusting. It's same with the witch, too. I won't say that. Actually, there's a pretty good customization because some of the people I was playing with had some totally different costumes, completely different than what I was doing. But if you're the witch, you're the hider. And so you find a location, you pick an object, and you clone yourself into that object, and you hide. You have 30 seconds to hide before the seekers come out, which are the hunters. The hunters come out. They have a chicken at their side, which they can throw out. And it will go within a certain area, and it will seek out any objects that are witches that are hiding if you're in that area. So it gives them kind of a little bit of head up. If they see you, they can throw stones at you. They also can throw stones at objects, and if they hit you with a stone, you'll be revealed. Hide and seek.
So what if you don't move? If you just sit in a box in a corner somewhere and never move, how do you not just win automatically constantly?
Because the hunter has unlimited stones, and he just walks around and throws. And that's actually one of the statistics at the end of each game, how many objects you interacted with to check. So basically what you do as a hunter, you go around and you check every object that you can. And some things give clues away because, you know, if you see an area and there's multiple objects of something, and you're like, wait, that kind of looks odd. You'll hit it, or you'll throw your chicken out because you can literally just walk around and keep throwing your chicken out. He'll respawn every so many seconds.
How many witches on the team at a time? Is it just you?
I've seen up to 16 players play at once, and that is a load balanced. You would have I think you have multiple seekers and multiple witches. The few times I played, I didn't get to play this a whole lot. I played maybe like an hour or so, which was enough for a few, like maybe five or six matches.
Is so cool in this game. Sorry, I just noticed.
It is. It's a fun looking game. It is very Halloween. You ever played Costume Quest?
Yeah, I love Costume Quest.
It reminds me of that visually.
Yeah.
And but it's a cute little game, a little hide and seek. I don't know, maybe somebody loves this game to death and they have to play it all the time, but it was fun just to pop in and play, especially after all these serious, heady kind of games I played this
week.
It was
game?
Nice just to pop in. It was a PC game. That's where I'm playing it at.
Witchit. All right. Witchit. I'm into this. I think this actually looks like fun. I'm going
to
try this.
It is a lot of, like I said, it's a lot of fun, and then it's also really quick to get boring because if it's like just a few people on a server and you're hiding, it's just like hide and seek in real life.
I'm sure there's some intenseness to it, right? Yeah. Like
after about 5 minutes, like, oh, does somebody come find me already?
Yeah. Now, what are these purple teddy bear looking things he's shooting out every once in a while? Are they like, it's like a distraction or something?
Yeah, there's distractions you can throw out, and there's things that can reveal. And the witch also has a distraction. So you can be in one area and you can actually duplicate. It's got mana also, by the way. It's got health and mana. And if you you can duplicate an object further away from you and make it bounce around and hopefully attract the person over there to not attack you, because you can move around as that object. You have
The object seems to run, like this guy's a coconut right now and he's moving around just fine.
It reminds me, I don't know if you remember this or not. I want to say it was a Gary's Mod that kind of
this has a Gary's Mod vibe to it, actually.
Yeah.
Maybe that's what they're basing it on. So here's my other question. If you're playing this guy's way up in the top of a palm tree.
Right.
And he's hiding as a coconut. How would those guys ever know that's him? I mean, they'd have to throw stones at every possible thing in the history
that was my whole strategy when I started. I was like, I would throw, you just go as fast as you can. You just throw your chicken out and you just start throwing stones at everything. It's like,
So you can just keep, now this thing he keeps shooting at people looks like it would give away your position, but I don't know what they're seeing. Yeah. They must see something different.
Yep. And the chat room is confirming it was like prop hunt, which I think is wasn't that a derivative of Gary's Mod?
I think it was in Gary's Mod, wasn't it?
It might be in Gary's Mod.
That was a Gary's Mod standalone. Gary's Mod mod.
Yeah, Gary's Mod mod.
Gary's Mod mod. Nick and his friends still play a lot of Gary's Mod. They're super into it.
Mm-hmm. It's still a lot of fun.
I actually am going to try this. I'm going to give that game a shot. That looks like fun to me. Yeah, why not? I think that looks like fun. I mean, who are we kidding here? Good times could be had.
What else you got to do? I mean, what are you going to play, like that police game?
Exactly.
That was a blast.
Yeah, instead I'm going to play this.
It's a me, Mario!
Time for Guess That Game. That's right.
Guess it.
I guess it's Guess My Game. Ryan and I take audio from a couple of video games and we try to stump each other and make each other wonder what the hell the game is we're talking about. Well, today's no different, and I got a game to play for Brian. Let's see if he can guess it. All right, Brian, you ready? Here you go.
Give it to me.
What video game is this from?
Magical.
That little riff of the playing. That's very, very reminiscent. Here, I'll give you.
Reminds me of Trine, but
I'll give you a little bit of jump ahead. Hold on. Okay.
That sounds real familiar.
I'll bet you played it. I can't. Okay, I'll give you a hint. PS3.
All right.
Very popular game on PS3. It was
adventure, or is it platformer?
I'd say it's platformy and adventure-y, but not. It's kind of that. It's those together. See, chat room so far does not have it. Freaking Leisure Suit Larry, dude. What a dork.
That sounds just like I'm going with Leisure Suit Larry. I agree. Yeah. I agree.
Okay, how about this? Oh, that doesn't tell you anything.
Sounds so magical. It sounds so much like Trine to me.
Free Rangers got it. It's Journey.
Oh, Journey.
Journey, not the band.
Right, wispy dancing. I got I can hear it now.
Yeah, not the band, but the journey that you take.
Wow, that was on PS3. I guess it was, wasn't it?
It was. There's a remastered version on PS4. Also very good. If you never played it on PS3.
Yes, I played it on PS4. I never played it on the PS3, but. Interesting.
I played it when it came out and was blown away by it and beat it in like 2 hours, which kind of sucked. I wish it was longer, what a game. No, beautiful freaking game.
Right.
Unbelievably pretty, and the soundtrack is still really good. Brian, here's your game. Let's see if I can guess. I have not heard this before, so this is my first time. Here we go.
Let's see if I can remember, because I recorded it 2 days ago.
Oh, do you not remember this? All right, let's see.
Yes, sir. Affirmative.
New construction options. Building.
Ready.
Reinforcements have arrived.
Reinforcements have arrived.
Wait.
Construction complete. New construction options. Building.
Oh, is this,
It's 1995.
Okay, hold on. Is this Command & Conquer?
Yes, it is.
Oh, it
Good
totally
job.
Is. Yeah, Command & Conquer. You know what gave it away for me is her voice saying new construction options are available. I always remember her saying that. Oh, that's fantastic. Great. Nice. Woo! Was that Red Alert or just the original one?
That was this original extra crispy. That was all that was.
Oh, that's fantastic. I loved that game. That was so when good. You knew. So those were the years where you were like, all right, the future is Blizzard and Westwood Studios. They're the two companies to watch. And then Blizzard kept growing and doing awesome, and Westwood got bought by EA and destroyed.
Yes.
Which really, really sucks.
That was World of Warcraft 2 time period, I believe.
Well, there was no World of Warcraft, but yeah.
Well, I'm sorry. Yeah, I did say World of Warcraft.
Yeah, it would have been Warcraft 2.
It's so attached to my head now, it's hard not to say it.
Well, Orcs and Humans was, I want to say Orcs and Humans was only like a year before Warcraft 2, so it was all in the same time, roughly.
It was pretty quick.
Yeah.
Did you ever play Amazons and Aliens?
No.
It was kind of like a knockoff of that.
Remember that. Amazons and Aliens?
Yeah, Amazons and Aliens.
It's not
bizarre
ringing.
And addictive. It was such a dumb game. I had found.
Oh, do
some
you have it right there? Look at that.
Game.
What is this? Let's look at this, guys. Look at this. Amazon.
It was from. It was like from 2000, and it was so.
Oh my gosh.
You know, of that
3D Studio Max 2.0, baby. Look at that rendered front.
Yeah. Oh.
Yeah, that's hot.
Woo. Bringing out the old school stuff, there, my friend.
So wait. So would that run if you put? It'd probably run if you had it on your PC now.
Yeah.
Wouldn't
I mean,
it?
You'd
probably find a way.
I could find a way.
Some kind of Windows 95 emulator or whatever you got to do.
Advanced system of resources. Complex and idiosyncratic. What's that? How you say that?
Idiosyncratic. Lifeforms. Idiosyncratic.
Right. Research more than 100 undiscovered technologies.
Mm.
Why am I still talking to Scott?
I don't know.
Hey, this thing supports 3D cards.
Oh, like like 3D. What was it called?
Like the daughter cards and stuff.
The daughter cards. What were they called? They were called 3D Studio. No, something Max.
Voodoo. Right.
Voodoo cards. Voodoo.
Voodoo cards. Voodoo cards. Yes. Yeah, daughter cards. Voodoo cards. Oh, this also has TCP/IP multiplayer support. Forget it. Get out of here.
Yeah. Nobody wants to do their configure their TCP/IP bullshit on the network. Are you kidding me? Freaking, I'm glad we live in 2018. We have a lot of fond old memories of 1995, but it wasn't that great. There were some problems, okay? Big problems. All right, let's do this. Time for a quick news story. We learned a lot of stuff about Quake and games related to Quake at QuakeCon. Mostly we learned a lot about Bethesda games. QuakeCon 2018, the continuation of the long-running QuakeCon convention in Austin, Texas. First thing we got that was kind of a big deal was the Doom Eternal gameplay reveal. They showed a whole bunch of stuff from Doom Eternal. And my favorite thing was the weird under the shotgun hook that lets it shoot out, grab a dude, and pull you up to him. And the crowd went wild in that video. That all looked real good.
Yeah, it did.
That was probably the most anticipated thing since the 2016 Doom did so well. And they showed some good stuff. It looked good.
Not to jump back to Witchit, but by the way, as a hunter, you have a hook.
Go ahead. Do you? Oh, all right. Hey, look who did
it
first.
That's how you get up high places.
Yeah, screw you, Doom. Quake did it, Witchit did it first.
Witchit did it first.
Also, Quake Champions is going full free to play, which we always knew it probably would or was planning on it. They had kind of get into, you know, pay to get in kind of mode.
That's the reason why the cheer was like this. Woo, we already knew that.
Yeah,
woo.
A little bit.
Yeah,
I bought into it because I wanted to play Quake, and I think it's really good, by the way. I think it's awesome. I don't like the loot box stuff because I'm sick of that, but maybe they'll tweak that stuff. I don't know. But free-to-play version of the fast-paced arena shooter, Quake Champions, has just been launched. It's been in early access for a while. And anyway, they're going to keep it constantly updated, adding new modes, adding new champions, cosmetics, improvements, blah, blah, blah. Because I bought in at the level that gets you all of the heroes, my understanding is I get the heroes for life, so no matter what heroes come out, I get them, which is all very good. And it plays a hell of a lot like Quake. If you like Quake... Mm. I would recommend Quake Champions. It's Quake. Like, straight up, yo. Rage 2, they had some extended gameplay there. We've seen a lot about Rage 2 at E3 and so on, but they showed a bunch of that. That looked good. Can't wait for that, actually. Elder Scrolls Online, Wolf Hunter DLC had a launch trailer.
I'm excited about that.
I would be, except I'm playing Warcraft today and can't think of any other MMOs right now. So
that's true.
That one will have to wait.
But for all the rest of us, I'm excited about that.
Yeah, it should be fine. Also, they talked a little bit about expanding, this isn't in our notes, but expanding the card game, their Legends game. It's like their Hearthstone competitor.
Yeah.
taking that to consoles. They said that they will put it on any console that lets them share account data. What that is, what
that's, so that's suck a, that PlayStation.
That's them saying, that's their way of saying, Sony, you need to make up your mind and let us know before we do this. Because that could be...
God, this looks so good, the Wolf Hunter.
Yeah, it looks all right. It looks all right. I like that game. ESO is great. Nothing wrong with ESO. Yeah. It's my second favorite MMO.
I'll be playing this while you and the rest of the universe is playing World of Warcraft.
There you go. Bethesda Game Studio has expanded. Escalation Studios has become part of the family, the most recent part of the family. The studio, based in Dallas, Texas, previously worked on the game Fallout Shelter on Nintendo Switch and Elder Scrolls V Skyrim VR, and has started making contributions to the upcoming Starfield and Fallout 76. So additional firepower in the engine room there at Bethesda Studios. That's about it. And then they had a lot of competition and some other stuff. So QuakeCon, always a good time. It's no longer the place where John Carmack comes out and says anything, though. That's the thing I miss, I guess. You know, because when Carmack, it was originally their thing. So he'd come out, Tom Welitz, all those guys would come out, and they talk all about the id stuff and everything. And you always got to hear just some weird spew of techno babble coming out of Carmack. And he's not there anymore. Is it Facebook?
And every time he would say something, you're like, I honestly think that man's insane. I really think he's insane. I really do.
Chat room, I also like Guild Wars 2 a lot. I'd put those all three in my top. Those are my top three MMOs by far. Everything else is just nothing.
Do you know
those,
that I have never played Guild Wars?
You should play Guild Wars 2. It's good. We got to get you a code.
I have heard that. Is that one?
It's free to play.
That was a single. You pay one time.
Yeah,
right?
You pay for the game. You buy the game and then you play it. If an expansion comes out, you buy the expansion. Just like ESO, same exact model.
Right.
And then if you want, there's little things you can do, microtransactions, but they're all cosmetic. And it's a good MMO. It's a strong piece of work.
You know,
I like it a lot.
I'm just so, you know, I'm so cautious about MMOs.
I know.
If you're cautious
about WoW, I don't know how you play these other ones. I don't know how you're going to play ESO. How are you going to do that?
I don't. I'm so excited about it, but honestly, in the end, I've just got to admit, I can't. I don't have that kind of time because I love too many other small games.
I'm that way too. Although I make an exception for WoW, but it's about the only time I have for such things.
Makes sense.
There's that. Hey, how about one of these here deals? This is a thing we got. An email from listener Ken Urban is his name. The cool name.
No, that's a good name, Ken Urban.
Says, Scott, I found a game you might like. It's called Never Stop Sneaking for iOS. Graphically, it's like PS1 Metal Gear Solid, but with humor. Use your finger to direct your character around guards, cameras, etc. to complete your objective. It's not a free-to-play game and worth the couple of bucks it costs. Again, Never Stop Sneaking. That sounds all right.
I like it. The art is interesting. I'm looking at it now, but I'm only looking at it on the Steam store. I haven't looked at it on the iOS, but it apparently is on many platforms. PC, it looks like it's also on Switch
as well. Yeah, it looks like a Switch game. So I didn't know there's an iOS version. I'm sure it's cheaper than any of those other formats.
Probably.
I'm trying to see.
It seems to have some pretty decent scoring. Not, you know, 90s, but hey, a 70, I will take it every time.
Yeah, I'm trying to look at it here. It seems there's a couple of guys reviewing it. This is on Steam, you say? It's on computer, on PC?
Yeah, that's what it says. Yes, what it says.
Oh, yeah, the graphics are very PS1. Wow. Mm-hmm. On purpose, obviously.
Yes. It's retro in that.
Oh,
factor.
I love the final screenshot
where you're jumping out as some, looks like some kind of general in your full general garb and you're jumping out of the back of a plane.
I like stealth-based gameplay, so this looks like it might be right up my cheese. Yeah, I'm getting this.
Like getting it right up my cheese.
Hell of a recommendation there, dude. I'm getting it. You've just done it. You've made it, so I'm buying a game. I'll check the iOS version out just to see if touch controls are any good or not. If not, I'll do it somewhere else. But anyway, there you go. Ken Urban with a fine recommendation. Never Stop Sneaking. Available now on all the platforms. Boopshow@gmail.com is where he sent that email address, or that email. That's the address he used. I can't talk. So you can use that anytime you like, and we would be happy to read your emails here on the show. Boopshow@gmail.com. Before we get out of here, a quick reminder, frogpants.com/BOOP is the place you can go to find all the archives of the show, the podcast links, the YouTube
links,
all that stuff.
You can go to Boop.
You can go straight to Boop and never come back. On Twitter, we're at Boop Show. Brian's at the Brian Dunaway. I'm at Scott Johnson. And don't forget, you can email us boopshow@gmail.com. And hang around after the show. We're giving away some games. And you could be the winner today of some fantastic free games. So, chat room, don't go anywhere. Everyone else listening at home, check us out on Mondays, 3:30 Mountain Time, 5:30 Eastern, where we record the show. And you could win some games, too, if you came live. It's going to do it for us. We'll see you next time. This show is part of the Frog Pants Network.
Frog Pants Network.
Get more shows like this at frogpants.com.
I don't like steam.